In the morning, I finished by outlining very briefly the theorem that every Lipschitz function from X to R, where X is an Asplund space, has point of Fréchet differentiability. And I use the mean value theorem to show that these are many points, uncountable sets, and so on. But anyhow, this was not an almost everywhere result, in the sense that the proof did not show that the point of non-Fréchet differentiability form a sigma algebra or even an algebra of set. Therefore, we cannot deduce from this result that if we have two Lipschitz functions, F1 and F2 from X to R, they must have a common point of Fréchet differentiability. Or another way of expressing this, if we have a map, Lipschitz map from X to the plane, that it must have a point of Fréchet differentiability. This we cannot deduce from the result. Another possibility would be to imitate the proof, and instead of working with a map from X to R, working to a map from X to R2. But also this is impossible. Impossible is not possible to do it in an obvious way. Because if F is a point, if F is a map from X to Y, Lipschitz, then the slides of the set of Gateau derivative, actually what one calls the weak star slice of F, is a set of the following form. E is a set of derivatives. Xi are finite number of points in the space. Yi are finite number of functionals in the dual of Y, or and delta is a positive number, then the slice is defined of all Gateau derivatives, so that sum I from 1 to n of yi star, df is an operator from x to y, so df xi is an element of y, and so we can apply to it yi star, and we can take the sum I from 1 to n, and we want that this be bigger, as big as, almost as big as possible, m minus delta, where m is the biggest, the supremum of all possible numbers, and we allow a little bit delta to get a non-empty slide. Now, Price and Tischer constructed in 95 an example for every p between 1 and infinity and n bigger than p of a Lipschitz map F equals F1, F2, Fn, this Fi are the coordinates of F, going from Lp to Rn, such as whenever F is Fréchet differentiable at X, then summation dFi X Ei is equal to 0, where Ei denotes the usual basis in Lp. Of course, here we don't have the Yi star, because yi star means you simply take the i's coordinate, and therefore i's coordinate of f, and therefore this is the role of yi star here. So they have a map where this summation I from 1 to n dfi ei is 0 whenever F is Fréchet differentiable at X, and Ei are the usual basis vector in Lp. However, F is Gateau differentiable at other points, for instance X equals 0, where the sum is not zero but one. Thus, if I take any number between 0 and 1, for instance, half, and I take all the points for which summation dfix ei bigger than 1 half of the Gateau derivative, then there is a Gateau derivative there, a Gateau derivative of 0. So this is non-empty, and but contains no Fourier derivative. This shows that the natural generalization of the mean value theorem for Fourier derivative to maps from x to Rn n bigger than 2 is false. And thus also the proof of Fourier differentiability of map from x to R, where we found the Fourier derivative in every non-empty slice of the Gateau derivative, cannot work for Lipschitz map from x to y, where dimension y is bigger than 1. The example of Price and Tischer is very complicated. Again, I mean, very few people read it. There is also a big misprint in the, very strange misprint in the paper. But I checked it twice very carefully, so I can testify that it's correct, unfortunately. And no, it really makes the life much more complicated. And it forces us to look for other ways to prove differentiability of Lipschitz map whose range has dimension bigger than 1. In the rest of this lecture, I describe one method where search for a positive result was successful for some x. It is presented in a joint paper with David Price, which is going to appear soon in Annals of Mass. We introduce a sigma algebra of sets using both measure and category. By an infinite dimensional surface gamma in x, we mean a continuous map from the torus 0, 1 to the power aleph 0 in the product topology into x, so that the partial derivative d gamma t tj all exist and are continuous function of t. At the endpoints, we have to be a little bit careful. There's not a derivative, but one-sided derivative only. By gamma x, we denote the set of all surfaces in x equipped with a sequence of seminorm. Gamma 0 is a supremum of gamma t, and gamma j for j equals 1, 2, and so on is a supremum of the partial derivative with respect to tj. The space gamma x is an obvious way of Fourier space. It's not a Banach space because the number of norms is infinite. But what is interesting to us is it's Polish. It is metrizable by a complete separable metric space. A Borel set A in x is said to be gamma null if the measure of the point T where gamma T belongs to A is zero for residually many gamma belonging to gamma x. Residually many gamma means that except a set of gamma of first category. So here we have measure and category. The measure is the obvious measure on T, simply the product measure. It is not hard to check that if x is Rn, a Borel set A is gamma null if it is a Lebesgue measure zero. So in finite dimension, we don't get anything new. It is also easy to deduce from Rademacher's theorem, by letting the dimension tend to infinity, that the Gateau differentiability theorem is valid if we allow the exceptional set to be gamma null rather than Gauss null in the original formulation. So, actually, we go back to the proof of the differentiability theorem, same easy proof, and we don't show that gamma null sets are equivalent to one of these exceptional sets I mentioned before, but the proof works also for gamma null set, just as it works for Aaronshine null or whatever. In order to discuss Frechette differentiability, we introduce a new notion, and this is the following. A map F from an open set in X to Y, we say that a point X is X and X, of course, is a regular point for F if whenever the directional derivative of F in the direction V exists for some V, and therefore I didn't use the same notation DF because I didn't choose differentiability. I assume just that at this point X there is a directional derivative with respect to direction Y. Then the limit as T tends to zero, I replace X by a nearby point, X plus TU. So X plus TU minus TV minus F of X plus TU divided by T also tends to F prime XV. And this should hold uniformly on the unit ball of the space X. Then we say that the map F is regular. Now the notion of regularity appears in the literature in various forms, stronger or weaker. This seems to be the right form for us. I mean, it is not possible to use a stronger notion of regularity because then what we need is that if a map is Frechette differentiable at the point, it should also be regular there. And this is easy to check. The following two propositions are easy to prove. Proposition one, if f is a convex function from x to r, convex and continuous, then every point x is a regular point for f. So for convex and continuous point, every point is regular. What happens for general Lipschitz function? Then we have, there we have proposition two. If we have a Lipschitz function from x to y, y is any Banach space, but we assume that x is separable, then the set of irregular points for f is sigma porous, and the notion of sigma porous I defined and explained in the first lecture. The basic differentiability theorem is the following, and this is a deep theorem. Let G be an open subset of a separable Banach space x. Script L a norm separable subspace of Lin XY. Lin XY is simply the space of bounded linear operators from X to Y with the operator norm, and L is a separable subspace of it. And F from X to Y a Lipschitz function. Then F is Frechette differentiable at gamma almost every point X in X at which F is regular, Gateau differentiable, and the derivative, the Gateau derivative belongs to L. This may look strange because L really is not assumed to be any way connected to what we want. But the point is this, that there may be no points at all for which F is regular, Gateau differentiable, and the derivative is in L. But what the theorem says, that if there are points, then if I take out from these points a set which is gamma null, the remainder will be point of Frechette differentiability. As I said, the proof of this theorem is a hard analytic argument. Let me make just two comments about it. In the proof, an essential use is made by the fact that gamma x consists of infinite dimensional surfaces. How do we use it? If we have an infinite dimensional surface, then it's trivial to check that it can be approximated by maps which depend only on finite number of coordinates, say the first k coordinates. And this surface, gamma k, which, well, I mean, I said the surface is a map from 0, 1 to the power aleph 0 to x, but gamma k, I mean a map where the coordinates, so the function does not depend on the coordinate after k. So this is a trivial approximation fact. But then we can approximate the surface gamma k by a surface which depends on k plus 1 coordinates, where on the new coordinate, we are free to do any kind of useful construction, provided we only change it by little. But basically, we can do a lot of things in the new coordinate. So this is the reason we work with infinite dimensional surfaces. Always to have a new coordinate where we are free to do what we want. The separability of L, script L, enters in the proof not in a standard way, at least not for me. Standard way would be to choose a dense countable set or something like that. But how the separability enters is via a theorem in descriptive set theory. A Borel measurable mapping, I don't say what the mapping, but there arises a Borel measurable mapping in the proof. And if there is a Borel measurable mapping between two Polish spaces, it has a continuous restriction to a suitable residual subset. So we can take a subset of first category, and outside it, the function will be continuous. So basically, it says that Borel functions are almost everywhere continuous, provided they map between complete metric separable spaces. I will put this back and change this with, because I will need this, and I change this with one here. An immediate corollary of theorem 1 and proposition 1, and proposition 1 is there, says that every convex continuous function f, where x is Asplund, is Fréchet differentiable gamma almost everywhere. Because what are the conditions there? That we have a separable space of operators. Now, if x is Asplund, all the operators from x to r, the dual of x, is separable. And the Gateau differentiability theorem is true, so every such map is Gateau differentiable gamma almost everywhere. And the regularity disappears because we are talking about convex functions, and every point for a convex function is regular. So automatically we get that every convex continuous function from x to r is differentiable gamma almost everywhere. If we compare this to the example of Matuschenko-Matuschkova, we recall that there was an equivalent norm or continuous convex function from Hilbert space to r, which is Fréchet differentiable only on a Gauss null set, we get that Gauss null set and gamma null set are incomparable sigma algebra. The set where this function G is Fréchet differentiable at X is Gauss null, but by this corollary, it complements gamma null. So gamma null and Gauss null are incomparable. may have a set which is Gauss null and full gamma measure, and conversely, of course, if you take the complement. From this, we get another corollary immediately. Given any sequence of convex continuous function fi from x to r, where x is Asplund, and function gi from x to yi, where gi are Lipschitz and the yi have the Radon-Nikodym property, then there is a point x at which all the fi. Now, here's a mistake. All the fi are Fréchet differentiable and all the gi's are Gateau differentiable. This is a mistake here. So the fi are Fréchet differentiable and the gi are Gateau differentiable. This was not known before, because before we knew about differentiability of convex function only results of category. And for GI, we knew measure, and measure and category do not mix in this sense. But here we have gamma null, we have both Gateau differentiability of GI is gamma almost everywhere, and Fréchet differentiability of FI is gamma almost everywhere by the first corollary. So in fact, not only there exists point X which have this property, but gamma almost everywhere this is true. Now corollary 3. Let X be an Asplund space. Every Lipschitz function from X to R is Fréchet differentiable gamma almost everywhere, if and only if every porous set in A is gamma null. The if part is a direct consequence of proposition 2 and theorem 1. I mean, what is proposition 2? That the Lipschitz function is regular at outside the sigma porous set. So, and it's also, theorem 1 says that in this situation, that again, the dual is automatically separable, so the only condition was that we have Gateau differentiability and regularity. Gateau differentiability, we have gamma almost everywhere, and Fréchet differentiability, we have outside the sigma porous set. So if every sigma porous or sigma porous set is gamma null, then we have that the function is Fréchet differentiable outside a set which is gamma null. The only if part is actually trivial. Whenever A is a porous set, the function f of x, the distance from x to A, which is of course a Lipschitz function, is not Fréchet differentiable at A. Indeed, if x is Fréchet or only Gateau differentiable at x, then the derivative must be zero because the function is non-negative, and for x itself it is x belongs to A, it is zero, so the only possible derivative of function at the minimum point is zero. But if yn tends to x with the ball yn and radius lambda x minus yn intersection A is zero, and this you have at any point x by definition of a porous set, then the distance, then the difference fyn minus fx divided by the norm of yn minus x, fyn is the distance of yn to A, fx is zero. So you have dyn A divided by the norm of yn minus x, and because of this condition, this ratio is bigger than lambda for all n, so it doesn't tend to zero, so you don't have Fréchet differentiability in x. In view of corollary 3, it is of interest to examine what spaces X have the property that porous sets in them are gamma null. And here we have again a quite difficult result. There are basically, in this subject, there are four difficult results. One is the result which I talked about in the morning. The other is the example of Price and Tischer, and then these two theorems, theorem 1 and theorem 2. What does theorem 2 say? Assume that X has a Schauder basis Xi, I from 1 to infinity, such that for a suitable sequence of integers, the sequence of spaces xk, which is xk is the remainder or the span of the basis vector after nk, is asymptotically CFS. Then every porous set in X is gamma null. So this is sufficient condition to answer the question I asked before. Now, when I was asked to talk here, Johnson wrote me that I can write and can talk on any subject I want, provided it is related to asymptotic structure. I see that most lecturers here either didn't get this message or didn't care of it, but for me it is this theorem that justifies the talk here. The sequence of spaces xk of x is said to be asymptotically C0 if there exists a capital C less than infinity, such that for all n and for all k1 in n, u1 and there exists a k1 in n, so I can find a place in n, and if I take any vector in x1, the space which is spent by the unit vectors bigger than k1, take any u1 and x1, then I can find a k2 in n if I go far enough, so that all u2 in the span of the unit vectors bigger than k2 and so on and so on. But n is, we get that the norm of u1 plus u2 plus u3 behaves like C0, so the norm of the sum is less or equal than C times the maximum of UI. It follows that in C0, so the condition of theorem 2 are satisfied in C0, and also in the original zero-sum space. The original zero-sum space is a space which is modeled after C0, not the dual one which was introduced by Figel and Johnson, which is modeled after L1, but this is the original one. These satisfy the requirement of theorem 2, and in these spaces, every porous set is gamma null. It follows indirectly from theorem 2, there is some construction you have to do, that also in other spaces like CK with K countable, any porous set is gamma null. Now corollary 4, assume that X is either CK with K countable or a subspace of C0, then every Lipschitz map from X to a space Y having the Radon-Nikodym property is Fréchet differentiable gamma almost everywhere. This is a consequence of theorem 1 and theorem 2. Actually, what you had to add to the previous remark is only that in this situation, if X is one of these spaces, then the space of all operators from X to Y is separable, so the separability condition is satisfied automatically. As for the connection of the discussion above, this is a mean value theorem for Fréchet derivative. We have the following result. Excuse me.
This is what I call proposition 3. Suppose that F from X to Y is a Lipschitz map, which is pressure differentiable. Now this is something which is not connected to the previous thing. It's just something which can be proved. It's not hard. Suppose that F is a map from X to Y, which is Lipschitz, and which is Fréchet differentiable gamma almost everywhere. Then for every slice of the set of Gateau derivative of F, the set of points X such that F is Fréchet differentiable at X, and the Fréchet derivative is in S, is not gamma null. It follows from this proposition, and the example of Price and Tischer, which I mentioned above, that in LP, P strictly between 1 and infinity, in particular L2, not every porous set is gamma null. Or in other words, not every Lipschitz function from LP to Rn is Fréchet differentiable gamma almost everywhere. The same is true for any Banach space containing one of these LP as a complemented subspace. So practically, most reflexive spaces, this is not true. For Cyrielson space, it's true. Thus, all what was done above does not help to solve the question whether any Lipschitz map from L2 to R2 has point of Fréchet differentiability. More general, giving a sequence Fi of Lipschitz function from L2 to R, do all functions in the sequence have a common point of Fréchet differentiability? I believe that yes, but we have at present no way to prove it. This is equivalent to the question whether there is a sigma algebra in L2 such that for every Lipschitz function f from L to L2 is Fréchet differentiable almost everywhere with respect to the sigma algebra. This translation from here to here is something completely formal. So whether we can have Fréchet differentiability outside the sigma algebra is equivalent to the statement that for every countable functions we have a common point of differentiability, Fréchet differentiability. Let me mention now a problem in the opposite direction. Till now, the question was given a function can be ensured that has point of Fréchet differentiability. Now, I ask the question, how to construct Lipschitz function which are not Fréchet differentiable? This is also not obvious. More specifically, given X and Y and assume that the space of operator from X to Y contains a non-compact linear operator, or what is practically equivalent is the space of operator from X to Y is non-separable. Does there exist, or even not only non-separable, contains a copy of L infinity? These things are very close. Does there exist a Lipschitz map from X to Y which is nowhere Fréchet differentiable? The answer is yes and easy if X or Y have an unconditional basis, because then we can take absolute value of coordinates, which is a Lipschitz function. But in general, nothing is known. So to construct a bad function is also not easy. It is reasonable to conjecture that every Lipschitz function from x to y, where x and y are separable, has points of Fréchet differentiability if and only if the space of linear operators with the usual operator topology has Rnp. This is a very attractive conjecture because this is an equivalence between a nonlinear statement about derivative of Lipschitz function and a linear statement about the space of operators from x to y. For the if part, we are at present very far from a... This is reasonable in the sense that there are no counterexamples known in any direction. For the if part, we are at present very far from a proof. As I said, we don't know what happens if X is Hilbert space and Y is Rn. For the only if part, we have some partial result. We know that the assumption that Y must have the Radon-Nikodym property. We know this. This is a part of it. We know that X star has to be separable, which means that X star is a Radon-Nikodym property. So this is a special case of this, that X and Y are one-dimensional. But the main missing part for the only if is just the question I mentioned before about constructing a function which is non-Fréchet differentiable. And again, I will finish 5 minutes earlier because that's the number of slides I thought which should be done in an hour, so I prepared 17 slides for each lecture and I finished before.
Thank you very much for the lecture. And we have the questions.